How do you treat those family members you haven't seen in a long time? So this is what I want to ask you to do, okay? This may be like out of your out of the ordinary, but I'm going to ask you to stand, and I want you to shake hands of people you've never seen before or people you haven't seen in a while for a couple of seconds. Now, as with any family, we may have the tendency of getting carried away, so I'm going to call you back, all right? Enough fellowshipping already, all right. All right. Man. You agree with me that God is good? And all the time? I heard, I think it was Pastor Gary who said that, you know, we serve a living God. Now, there's some people who serve dead gods, right? They serve themselves. They serve their possessions. They serve even their own success, correct? But we are finding out in these days that those people who are serving those things that are not God are getting a rude awakening, aren't they? There's people in this culture that serve, they were serving their investments, right? Their 401k and their 401(3) and their stocks and their bonds and we're seeing that is just what? Failing, isn't it? A failure. What people called success, it's becoming failure. Some people serve their real estate, right? Especially down here in South Florida. When we came, my wife and I and our family came down here 2.5 years ago. I mean, this was the market to invest in, right? Well, maybe not 2.5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, right? I mean, you couldn't find a place and buy it fast enough, right? You were there, you saw the place, you put a bid, you wrote a check, boom. And nowadays, right, people are just running away from the real estate market. What this world has called success has become a failure. I want to share just a couple of moments with you about success God's way. Do you believe that there's a way that we can have success and keep building on that success forever and ever and ever? Do you believe that? It only comes from God, though. I want to share a couple of verses from Scripture with you, and they're found in Joshua chapter 1. Before you turn there, I want you to grab your Bible. I want you to take the Bible in your hand, and I want you to pray this prayer with me. May your word be my guide. Your spirit, my teacher, and the image of Jesus, my single concern. Amen. Listen to these words. I'm going to flash a couple of verses up there. Beginning at verse 6, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn to it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord. We praise you, Lord. Like I said, we live in a world that is driven by success. Everything around us, especially in this culture we live in, tells us that there is a way in which we can be successful. But needless to say that the success that we have been seeing around us has converted itself to failure. And it's because people have placed their heart and their money on things that are not stable. And so success has become failure. This very small word that we don't like. How many of you like to fail? How many of you get up in the morning and say, gee whiz, I want to fail this morning? No one? Oh, okay. You know why? Because I believe God wants his children to succeed. I want you to keep that in mind. God doesn't want you to fail. The children of Israel had been taken from the land of Egypt, where they had been in captivity for 400 years. And God intended for his people to go into the promised land right off the bat. God wanted them to succeed, yet their own ways, their own wickedness, their own disobedience took them through the wilderness for 40 years. They went around and around. They couldn't enter in. God wanted for them success. They brought failure upon themselves. Isn't that the way we are at times? You know, God wants success for all of us, and he tells us, okay, as we're going to see in these scriptures, you know, God tells Joshua, listen, if you obey me, if you listen to my words, if you are careful to follow my instructions, if you follow the guidelines, if you follow the map, you will get there. But what do? We're like that annoying husband that is lost around, you know, and fails to stop and ask for directions, right? And all the ladies here said, amen. You know, how many of you have GPSs in your car, right? Amen. Right? We plug in, right, the directions. I know I do that, right? I plug in that directions and it's gonna take me from point A to point B. But there are times, even with the GPS telling you, turn right, we turn left. And you know, I don't know about your GPS, but mine says a recalculating route. My wife and I went to Miami a couple of weeks ago just to you know, get away for a couple of nights. And I was trying to get from there to the car show in Miami Beach. And I plug in the directions, you know, it was good to go, right? That's all I need, right? Well, I kept taking the wrong turns to the point where the thing froze, right? It just didn't know what to do. But God wants his children to have success. God wanted the children of Israel to walk into their promise, not to wander around for 40 years, but finally, thank God. Thank God for his grace and his mercy towards us, right? And he's not going to freeze on us like that GPS will, or smack us across the head like our wives might, you know, if we don't listen. God is going to take us there. Now, what is success? I left you a little line there for you to fill. What is success? Success is this. Success is handling all your life efficiently. You may have to skip a couple of slides there. Oh, let's see, go back. There you go. Handling some of your life? Half of your life? 3/4 of your life? It means handling your money successfully, right? That's what it means? Oh, okay. How about handling your relationships only successfully? Or your family? Or how about your spiritual being successfully? Or how about your intellect and your mental capacities? No. Success means handling all of your life efficiently. It means that we become part of the world's cure and not part of the sickness. Now I'm going to repeat that again because I believe that as children of God, we are called to be salt of this earth, to be light of the world, to become part of the solution and not be part of the problem. Did you hear that this morning? We are called to be part of the solution. God wants each and every one of us to be part of the cure, to bring healing where there's sickness, to bring restoration where there's brokenness, to bring hope where there's just uncertainty. And let me tell you something, my friends. Let me tell you something this morning. We live in such a world right now that the world is hungering for what we have to offer. I got one amen. That's right. Okay, Trevor, I got you. We're there, man. We're there. Let's bring everybody else here. Did you hear that? That God wants you and us to be able to bring what we have to offer now. You want bad news? Just turn the TV on, right? And go from one channel to the next, from one newscast to the next. You know, you want bad news? Pick up the newspaper or the magazines. You want bad news? The bad news is out there. Listen, people who were relying on all these things, who call themselves successful, are now turning to something or someone that can give them hope in a time of pain and despair because everything else has failed them. So here we are. Part of the cure, and sometimes we don't even know it. We don't even realize it. I have this little formula that I want to share with you. Success equals this. Let's see. Let's go to the next one. There we go. You have that little thing in your bulletin? All right. Some of you already know this if you followed me, you know, a little bit, but for those of you who don't know, what is success? Well, success equals results. You want to be successful? You know, a lot of people have thought that success is a destination, right? Well, success is not a destination. Success is a process. The children of Israel came from where? From bondage to God's promise. But there was a process involved that took place there. The consequences of a particular action, operation, or course, or an outcome. That is what results are. It's not one thing and only, and you get there and that's it. You remember that when the children of Israel came into the promised land, there was some work that needed to be done, right? There was some armies that needed to be defeated. There was some cities that needed to be conquered. It was not just coming into the promised land and saying, we've made it. And a lot of people see their success that way. Oh, I've made it. But it's not that way. It's continual results. You want to be successful in your relationships? Then you have to work at it each and every day. You have to bring results constantly to the table. You want to be successful in your spiritual being? It's not when you get to heaven that it's in the process. You know, you've heard the term that there's some people that are so, you know, they're so focused on heaven that they're no earthly good. How does that go again? Right? I mean, they're almost, I mean, they could almost float, right? And you've met some of these people, but there's probably no one like that here, right? But you've met them. I've met them along the way, right? And they think that, oh, there, when we get there, when... And God is saying, no, wake up. It's now in the process. The kingdom of God is with you. Amen. And so God wants you to have good results in your spirit, in your mind, in your body, in your family, in your schoolwork. My kids hate listening to me at times like this, right? Because they think, well, what good is it, right? No, but in your schoolwork, in your job, in your relationships, in your church, fill in the blank, whatever else you want there. You need to have those continual results in order to be successful. There's no other way around it. I wish I could give you something that was easy and you could say, okay, once I have arrived here, that's it. But it's not that way. God kept telling Joshua, listen, be careful to obey everything that I give you. Just now? No, tomorrow as well, and the next day, and the next day. Be strong and courageous. When? Just now? No, today and tomorrow and the following day. Be careful to not depart to the right or to the left, but do it on a daily basis, daily basis. What happens to the people who say, okay, you know, and of course the holidays are coming, right? Are you excited about that? We have one brother back there who's excited. He's been excited since 10 o'clock when he started saying, hey, Thanksgiving is coming. But what's going to happen during the holidays? You and I know what's going to happen during the holidays, right? Oh, my goodness. Lord have mercy, right? We're going to eat. And some of us are going to eat, right? Oh, we have some spiritual people here saying, oh, Lord, yes, Pastor, we're going to eat. Praise the Lord. Yes. But after the holidays, we're going to, you know, January's going to come and everybody's going to just be so guilty. And if you're not guilty, you just won't be able to wear your clothes anymore. So you put these New Year's resolutions, right? And you say, okay, I'm gonna lose weight. I'm gonna lose the 15 pounds that I gained during this joyous season for my belly, right? And so you're gonna say, okay, I'm gonna work out. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna work out. And so you get ready, right? You get focus, you're gonna eat less, you're gonna buy yourself some sneakers, you're gonna probably join a gym, and you're gonna lose weight. You get to the gym maybe once and you run for half an hour, you sweat, you go home and you said, I've done it, right? Or maybe for some people, you know, because that, of course, that is so ridiculous, right? You just can't work out just one time and expect to drop the 15 pounds, right? You have to take a pill for that. So you take a pill, right? And then nothing works. Why? Because if you don't change your habits and your results, the outcome won't be any different. Somebody once defined insanity as doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. You want to have success in your area, in all these areas of life? Change your results and you'll change your success. The next point is this. Not only are we to change our results, we are to change our actions. Say action. Action means this, something that is done or accomplished or a deed, an action. Now, I want to emphasize this because a lot of people think that they don't have to do anything about it. And if you know very spiritual people, they say, well, all we have to do is just believe God. Have you met some of those people too? But not, of course, not here, right? But we've met them, right? You tell them, okay, brother, you know, we need to do this and that and the other. They say, okay, brother, let's just pray. The children of Israel had to do something about it. This is what God reminds Joshua as he's about to enter. He says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you You have to do something about it, right? Be careful to obey all of the law that my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Listen, that you may be successful wherever you go. Success here depended totally on their actions. Right? If we don't wake up in the morning and say, okay, I want to fail this morning. We don't wake up like that, right? Unless we're really like in the dumps, right? But we say, no, we want to achieve something more. We want to get a little further. We want to do a little more. We want to be able to praise God and be a testimony of God's grace and goodness to people around us by our actions. And so we have to do something about it each and every day. Now, I want to say this to those of you who probably are saying, well, why is that pastor saying that we don't have to pray? And I'm not saying that. This is what I'm saying. There's a time to pray, and there's a time to act. For 400 years, the children of Israel prayed, right? Lord, get us out of this mess. Lord, get us out of this mess. Lord, bring us deliverance. Lord, you know, they had a 400-year prayer gathering. But when the Lord opened the door, they had to what? They had to actually leave Egypt, right? God didn't pick them up like in a little cloud and took them there, right? Any Star Trek fans here or sci-fi people, right? Yeah, no? Okay. Some, yeah. Okay. You know, God didn't just transport them there, right? They had to take one step behind the other and get there. There's action that needs to take place. I love when God brought them in front of the and Gary, you talked about it, right? The sea, right? And the enemy was coming fast and furious behind them, right? To the right, they had nothing but mountains. To the left, they had nothing but mountains. They were exposed to danger. There was no turning back. And there was a great sea in front of them. And what did the people start doing? Do you remember what they started doing? They started complaining. Moses! Poor pastors. You know, they always get the brunt of it. Right? Why did you take us from Egypt to here so we could die in this desert, right? We could have died there. We had graves. They didn't even have graves, but in their minds, they thought they had graves. Didn't we have graves back in Egypt? No, you didn't. Oh, wasn't it so good in Egypt? Was it really? And so God told Moses, look, quit praying. There's a time to pray. That was not the time. Quit praying. Tell my people to walk. To walk. You want a change in your life? You want success in your life? Take a hold of God's promises. Believe that God's word is yea and amen, and that God wants you to live it out and just go and do it. We have a tendency to pray or cry much than we act, and we act very little. Lord, bring people so they could hear this message, right? I mean, I remember my dad was a church planter, and we would hold these, like, all-night, Friday night prayer gatherings, right? And so we would pray all night. I mean, everybody would come to the church, and we would pray, and we would bring the names of people that we were praying for and pray all night. Lord, you know, bring them, soften their hearts, Lord. But then my dad would get up and say, okay, we've prayed all night. Pick up the phone and call somebody. Go knock on their door. Go out and do something about it. You see, When we do that, we are relying and saying that God is the one who does the impossible. But God expects me and you to do the possible. You and I cannot save anybody. We can't even save ourselves, right? Lord, have mercy if we even try to do that. God does the saving. God does the transformational work. God does the softening of the heart. God does the redeeming part, but God expects us to go and do a witness and tell them of how good God is and everything that God has done in our lives. God will do the impossible, but God expects us to do what is possible. God did the impossible by opening the Red Sea, right? And do you realize that the Red Sea was parted as they started walking into it? You realize that? That sometimes you just have to like take the step and your feet may get wet a little bit. Now, they crossed in dry land. God did that miracle. But it wasn't until they took the first steps. God will do the impossible, open the Red Sea. We have to do the possible and walk through it. Amen? God will do the impossible of softening the Pharaoh's heart, but then we have to do the possible and actually get out of that situation. Right? We may be going through some problems at times, right? And Lord, we say, Lord, please fix this, please fix this. And there may be an opening there, a door, the door opens up, and then all we have to do is get out of that situation. God finally took them to the promised land, but they had to walk into it. God gave them all these cities, but they had to go and conquer them. God will always do the impossible. It is up to us to do what is possible. Now listen to this. Action is a sign of our faith in God. You say, I believe, I believe, I believe, and I ask you this, where are your what? Your works. The book of James says, don't tell me you believe, but you don't act. I always put it this way, pretend. How many of you like to be out in the water? Like, oh yeah? All the time. Okay, so it's small boats, maybe a canoe, you know, with some paddles, right? Right? We have some man-made, lakes around here, small ones. You can take a nice little boat. Right, and you take the paddles. Imagine yourself in the middle of that lake or you know whatever body of water it is. You want to get back to where you were. You want to get forward, and you start paddling with your right hand. What's going to happen to you? Are you going to get anywhere? It may be fun for a couple of minutes, right? Woo! This is fun. But you're not going to get anywhere. And so what happens if you do it with the opposite hand? Maybe that is the key, right? If you start paddling with the left hand, right? What happens to you? Oh, you're going to go the other way, right? Are you going to get anywhere? Well, you have faith on your right hand and action on your left hand. If you want to get somewhere, you have to what? Exercise both. You have to exercise both. That's the only way you're going to get somewhere. Okay, so you have faith, and as you have faith and you say you believe, you say, Lord, I have faith, and because I have faith, I'm going to do something about it. You will get to where you need to go. I'm talking about actions. I'm talking about actions. May our actions match our faith, and our faith match our actions. That's the only way we're going to get forward. Are you getting this? Is this making any sense? All right, good. Now, how do we change our actions? We've talked about results, right? We've talked about actions. But the only way we're going to change our actions is by changing our thoughts. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says this, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Some theologian put it this way one time. He says, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Did you hear that? If you think you can and if you think you can't, you're right. Your thoughts. Now listen to me, my friends. The battle is won or lost in our minds. The battle is won or lost in our minds. If we think we can and if we think we can't, we're right. Listen to what this this gentleman had to say one time. Let's go to the. He says, every thought seed planted in the mind and takes root there produces its own blossoming sooner or later into actions and circumstances. Every thought seed, everyone. That's why Paul said this, look, part of the transformation that takes place in the believer's life is this, be transformed by the renewing of what? Oh, why, Pastor? Why do I have to be transformed in the renewing of my mind? Because that is where doubt creeps in. We tend to either underanalyze things or overanalyze things, right? We hear the word of the Lord in our hearts and we could say, yes, I'm going to do it, or if we wait just long enough, doubt is going to seep in and it's going to start saying, oh, really? Can you really do that? Are you really going to go there? I'm reminded of David when he faced Goliath. Where did the armies of God lose the battle? Where? It was in their minds. They saw a giant. You know, they saw this enormous enemy whom they thought couldn't be defeated. You know, this was a mighty man of war. And David had to come and say, wait a minute, what? Just you know, rinse your minds already. Who do you serve? That battle will always be there. See, transformation is on the outside, but we don't realize it. In order for transformation to be manifested on the outside, we have to clean and purify and renew our minds and our thoughts on the inside. Nothing that happens out here happens before happening in here. Now, this is what I have to tell you. This change the condition of your life by changing the conditions of your thoughts. Renewed your mind. That's why the Bible calls us to worship the Lord with all of our strength, all of our heart, all of our what? Why? Because that's where the battle is won or lost. So big thoughts equals big actions, that equals big results, that equals big success. Let me say that again. It's probably up there. Big thoughts. If you think little, that's exactly what's going to happen. If you serve a God who's small and little and powerless, your actions will determine that. Now, we say that we serve a living God, right? Amen. Oh, we had two people over here who serve a living God. Okay. We say that we serve a living God. Amen. So why are actions so little and fragile? We say we serve a God who triumphs over everything, yet why do we lead lives that are defeated? This is what the Lord, again, reminds Joshua time and time again. He says, look, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Why? Faith comes by what? And hearing what? I was telling some of my folks last week, look, you know, you, Sometimes if you don't have a pastor around to preach to you, preach to yourself. Right? Grab the word of God and say it. Say it out loud. Say it out loud so you can hear it, your mind can hear it, even people around you can hear it, the situation can hear it. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, not from your heart, from your mouth. And this is what he says, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Meditate on it. Change your mind. Renew your thoughts. Empty your mind from those things that hinder you, that stop you, that just get in the way, and fill it with the God of possibilities and the God that wants to give you triumph. What we dwell on the most is who we will become. Do you know that? There's some people who are defeated up here and they live their lives that way because that's the way they think. That's why I say that we have the greatest message in the world to give to those people. We do. But if we are there ourselves, how can we, right? That's what Jesus said. Look, salt, you are called the salt of the earth, right? The earth to bring what? Preservation and taste and healing to the world. But if the salt becomes tasteless, it's worth nothing. It's going to be thrown out. It takes a lot of courage to be successful at God. It takes a lot of courage to live a life of faith. It takes a lot of courage, and sometimes it seems impossible. Everything around us scream what is contrary to God's will. Everything. But I want to tell you this, and I want to close with this word. The power of God is with you. Just remember that. The power of God is with you. Don't put your trust on the stock market or in the real estate market or in your job or in your, you know, put your faith in God, who will bless you in all those other areas. The key here is this, is to be strong and to be what? Courageous. Did you realize how many times God repeated that over and over again to Joshua? In 9 verses, God repeats that to him 3 times. Be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. I want to give you a little hint here. Whenever you see repetition take place in the Bible, God is trying to make a point. So it's the same thing when you see a name, when you see some definition there, God is trying to make a point. When God is telling his servant to be strong and courageous, God meant it. God knew how difficult it would be. God knew how impossible it could seem at times. But as children of God, we are called to be what? Part of what? The solution. And to be the cure of the world. Now, as we go from this place, okay, and I'm done. I've said enough. As we go from this place, I want to bring to our minds again the words that God told Joshua when he said this, do not be terrified. It's scary at times. But don't be terrified. Don't be scared. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Pray with me, please. And as I pray, there may be some in this place who feel like they're failing in life. It could be your marriage falling apart, or your relationships falling apart, or your investments falling apart. It could be your health falling apart. I don't know what you consider failure in your life right now. But I want you to pray this prayer in your heart. God has given you the tools. God has given you the roadmap. God has given you what you need. All you have to do is change your thoughts. And instead of seeing those impossibilities, see the God of possibilities. And then change your actions as a result of that. Faith and works go hand in hand, and you'll see the results. So pray with me. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your word. I thank you that it's living and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord, that cuts deep into the deepest part of our beings. Lord, I pray that as your people leave this place into a world of uncertainty, a world that is being shaken right now, I pray, Lord, that we would walk with our heads up high, with our hearts filled with hope, and believe that our trust is not in those things. As the psalmist said, Lord, some trust in their chariots and other trust in their armies, but yeah, we trust in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And so, Lord, this day we take a stand. We take a stand and we say, Lord, we will trust in you. We will put our trust, our total trust in you. And as we put our lives in your hands, we will begin to act, Lord, accordingly. There's nothing impossible for you, Lord. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters here this day who are probably struggling in one or more of these areas in their lives, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you just bring to their lives that breakthrough they need right now to do what you've called them to do, and that is to live a life that glorifies you. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to share with your people. I pray, Lord, that this word would be transformative into our lives as we go from this place and we go and take your name with us into the world. In Jesus' glorious name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.